Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, old school. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, this ain't for everybody. Some of y'all need to hear this. I know you're in the trenches fighting, but check it out. I'm gonna put it down like this so I can help the saints understand. Everything you're going through is all part of the master plan. Or what? You thought because you got saved, everything was going to be peaches and cream? You better wake up, son. Don't nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. Faith without works is dead. Read your Bible. You know what it says. He who don't work, don't eat. Slackers don't get fed. Yeah. Jesus said, he who puts his hands to the plow looks back the same ain't fit. Some of y'all ain't been in the trenches 5 minutes and you're about ready to quit. I ain't mad at you. I'm just hitting you with the real. If you died for me, I was still tripping. Now how you think that make you feel? Check this out. Deep game. This here's deep. Some of y'all ain't sawing nothing but you're studying trying to reach. But unto him who's able to possess your fathers by his glory. Struggles might be part of your testimony, but it ain't the end of the story. Now the point is since it's prophesied way back in the day. Choir, sing your hook right here and see if the church can relate.
I know we can make it.
Strange, the fiery trials were to try you. You say, why you? But your church say, what would Jesus do? Why you asking if he ain't trying to do what he's saying? He told you he was going to have tribulations, but you thought he was playing. One minute you're telling how good God is and can't nobody beat the talk. The next minute you're backsliding so fast, look like you're moonwalking. Oh yeah, I'm preaching to myself because I ain't no better. It ain't like I've been following his every word, obeying it to the letter. But we soldiers, we got to remember that. Regroup, stay on point. Yeah, bow down, confess, repent, stay humble, let him anoint. It ain't easy as I thought it was. I'd be lying if I told you that. But it's showing up getting better all the time. Trust me, that's the fact. Ain't nothing we going through that can't be handled. God put that on his tongue. Like they say, you can shout now if you want to, because the battle's already won. So while you're going through the valley, don't even trip. You're going to be on top. Choir, sing the hook line one more again. This time you don't stop.
I know we can make it.
We can make it.
Yeah, welcome everybody. We're going to pump the brakes right there. You know, I had to start off that with my man, Praise Master G, you know, giving us the big boy upstairs. You know, it's my belief anyway, without him, we wouldn't see another day, you know, and hope it's yours too. This is your host, Lamont Patterson, and you are listening to I Am Indie. And again, welcome to the show today, Hump Day. You know, we've made it this far in the middle of the week, and I'm quite sure we could make it the rest of the way. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely want to send out, I don't even know how to start with that one. All my peeps down in Texas way that's dealing with all that rain and, oh, man, just the destruction, everything that they're dealing with, man. We just definitely want to send them my prayers and stuff. So anyway, we want you to sit back and enjoy the show. You know, we have a guest today. I guess he's somewhere trying to leave the airport and trying to get here. You know, and I'm sure he'll be showing up pretty soon. But Mr. J.J. McKagan is going to be joining us. And until he get here, let the windows down and turn up the air conditioner. And, you know, let us bless your ears. Here we go.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Bye. Yo, I'm already grown, but it's hard to be like a man that I've never known. It's hard to change a picture of this man that I've grown, but I open up my arms like welcome to my home. Well, at least that's what I tell him, but before I say bye, the niggas already gone. So I take him on my heart, but I store him in my phone. I don't really need him, but my sister's feeling all alone. Yeah, and it's the same old song. The only time he call is when he asking for a loan. I always say yeah, cause I love him and I'm strong. But I hate the fact he only say he love me on the phone.
And I've done this on my own. I've become my own man and you can write that on my stone. I put that on my sons, well, should I say my clones. And my daughters need their fathers so they'll never be alone. I did this shit right cause he only showed me wrong. And I just snatched it off my chest and then I placed it on the throne. Before I noticed the pain, the memory is gone. My kids took away my kids, but placed me on the throne. Now I'm in my zone, a old school feel like the 64 Apollo or the 83 Boom. A nigga still smile when the memory is gone, but a nigga still cry if I think about my mom. And that's a whole nother story. Try to visualize the past, but the shit is kinda blurry. The brown paper bags and you clutching on the 40. I'm clutching on the promise, gotta lie to my sister. My brother need his father, but he turned to his brother. So I turned to the street to take the pressure off my mother. I did this for my kids, nieces, nephews, and my cousins. But before they feel my pain, man, fuck it, I will suffer. Cause I'm a little tougher, raised by the cutter, Louisville slugger. Thanks to my moms, and I swear I really love her. And I love my pops the same, and I say that no stutter. But now I'm getting older, my pops is getting older, but he think he's getting younger. I put the bullshit aside and place it in my folder. Well, leave it where it's at and take the pressure off my shoulders and them demons off my back. My head's all clear, my kids getting bigger. My pops starting to feel like he's more like my nigga. My sister's starting to feel like I'm more like a father. My brother had a daughter, and I'm just being me for my grown man issue. Your life is moving fast, a lot of tears and no tissue. Nobody on your side when your cash is the issue. Or when you crash and the pressure of the smash don't kill you. But they say but don't kill you make you stronger. A marriage gone bad, it's like living in a coma. No signs are getting better, but we scared to pull the plug. We just living in the moment, or maybe it's the love. Well, the love is our kids and my eyes won't lie, so I hide them with my lid. I deal with the drama, I can walk away from them. Cause if I walk away from them, then I'm walking out their life. And if I'm walking out their life, then I'm making room for him. And it's no working out, it's all weight with no gym. Yeah, and maybe that's my best move. Sketch out the rest of my life like a cartoon. My new chick must have knocked her off a pedestal. Cause child support, shell a checkmate like a chess move. But here I stand, my reflection show a hell of a man. And
can
let's
pretend
that
airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars. I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Joints airplane. Give one of my buddies a shout out, Miss Tammy Lynn, somewhere getting her toes done, because she knows us men folks be looking at those toes first. We be looking at the feet before we look at the head, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, those toes got to be right, for real, for real. Let's see as our guests have arrived. JJ, are you with us?
I'm here. Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
Oh, well, man. What they say, better late than never.
Good
no worries, man. I told everybody that your private jet was circling the airport and we'll be landing pretty soon.
Yeah. Had a little problem on the runway, but we're all good.
Yeah. Well, you know, they know how stars are. You know, that when you land, you got to comb your hair and, you know what I'm saying,
Definitely.
Hey, well, JJ, welcome to the show, and let me give you a little brief introduction, and we could get it cracking. I hope I pronounce your name, last name, McQuiggan? Is that how you pronounce it?
McQuiggan, yeah, I was close. That's closer than a lot of people. Yeah.
So. Oh, okay. Well, see, I went to school the first 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
All right, we have J.J. McQuiggan with us, who is a VH1 Save the Music Songwriting Contest finalist, award-winning songwriter, guitarist, and mental health advocate. A drummer since age 13, McQuiggan later picked up the guitar and began writing songs at age 20. He attended Newman University and renowned recording school, Full Sail University. Songwriting has now become JJ's main focus and passion, with the emphasis on lyrical creation. McQuiggan has appeared on countless radio shows, and his music has been heard on hundreds of stations around the world. After a brief stint in Austin, Texas, he has returned to his hometown of Wichita. He is currently working on a follow-up EP for 217 release. For more information, I'm going to let him tell you that himself in a few minutes. And again, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, JJ, what's going on with you, man? I always like to start the show. I know a lot of hosts go the other way and jump right into all the to the meat of the interview.
Yeah.
But I always like to start with, you know, who is JJ? I mean, were you a country boy? I mean, how did you, you know, was a bad boy in school? I mean, did you have fun? When did you get involved with the music? And what's your love before you got here?
Well, two of my main passions has always been music and sports. Was able to play basketball all through college, and been a drummer since 13, and picked up the guitar at 19, and started writing songs ever since then. And so, really, where I'm at right now, I'm working on a follow-up EP to Dissociative, the one I released in October. With my buddy Brian Elwick. He's a fantastic guitar player as well, and multi-instrumentalist. And so, and the genre that I, you know, typically fall into is alternative rock. And so that's really what I tend to gravitate towards the most. And yeah, man, it's just it's been fun this past year releasing that EP and just trying to see how far I can take this as a songwriter and everything. And so hopefully I don't stop till I drop dead, and hopefully my songs live on after that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the best thing for a songwriter is for other artists to, you know, copy their songs. So when did you really decide to start taking music seriously? Was that, you know, 19 or 20, or when did you really
decide? Yeah, that's when I really started with guitar seriously. And I got hooked up with a guitar teacher named Randy Zellers here in town. He's a jazz musician and one of the best guitarists I've ever seen, and just a very good teacher. And so I mainly just focused on guitar for a couple, 2 or 3 years. And then once basketball ended, you know, I dove right into songwriting. And I'd always written songs but never really put them to music, and, you know, wrote in journals and stuff like that. And as you said before, I'm a mental health advocate, and I've suffered from mental illness and still do, but was diagnosed when I was 16. With OCD, depression, anxiety, and journaling and writing and music in general basically helped save my life. And so,
okay. Well, let me ask you this really quickly:
Are
you involved in any of those organizations for the mentally ill?
Yeah, there's the Mental Health Association of South Central Kansas, and I volunteer there. And I did work there for a few months. They had a part-time position open up until they could get someone full-time. And so I was able to work there for a few months in one of their group homes,
right.
Which was interesting. And it was, you know, there's some misconceptions about, you know, mental illness, and it's only the people that, you know, just appear out of it all the time and wander in the streets. Yeah, that's true. But even those people can turn around and become fully functioning people. I've
right.
seen it, and, you know, we've heard stories of it, and, you know, it's just wanting to get the message out there the best I can on any platform that, you know, if you're going through something, struggling, whether it be depression or anxiety or both or something else, you know, there's help for you, and you're not alone, and
right.
just always...
Yeah. That's why I wanted to mention it and have you, you know, elaborate a little bit more on that, you know, for the
yeah.
you know, the great work these organizations are doing, you know.
Right. It's, you know, and hopefully they get to continue to be funded by, you know, Medicaid, because a lot of them are funded by that. And so, you know, if that continues to happen, that'll be good. And as well as we keep making strides to not stigmatize people and just treat everybody as a human being, whether they got a mental disorder or not, you know, and be willing to listen to our best capacity to someone who is in need, or point them to someone who we think can help. And
right.
So it's just, that's an important thing, definitely.
I think in general, people just need not to be so selfish, because people tend to think so much about themselves. And saying that, I mean that they always think this could happen to somebody else, or it won't affect them or their family until it does.
Right. They don't, you know, it's one of those things that it's seen as bad. You know, a mental illness, in the sense that, you know, the person might be at fault for it, and that's hardly ever the case. And sometimes it's seen as a personal weakness, and that's hardly ever the case. And so, and just like you said, some people, they just want to avoid it altogether, but so much more now, today, you know, it's hitting home with a lot of people, whether
right.
it's them themselves or a family member or a close friend. You know, they see it and they hear about it, and I think we just need to accept it and accept the people that have the illness, and just really try to be one community that just kind of does that and not feel like we have to hide everything. You know, in certain situations, yeah, that's cool, but overall, you know, we shouldn't feel like we have to hide everything from people, especially people close to us, that, you know, we should be able to be ourselves, should be able to just let it go. And if we need to vent, we can vent without being judged and whatnot. And so just about creating a better environment for us all, really.
Right. Well, JJ, let me tell our listeners, for those who just joined us, you're listening to I Am Indie, of course. The call-in number 347-308-8747. And we're speaking to Mr. JJ McQuagan today. And if you'd like to join the conversation, press number 1 on your phone. Let us know that you're there. And we'll be glad to let you in. So, JJ, who were some of your first musical influences that you can remember?
Way back in 94 was when I really got into rock and roll. Live was a band that was very big back then. Of course, Nirvana. You know, and then later on, bands like Creed, Disturbed, Cold, Him. Just bands that, you know, really invoke a lot of emotion and a lot of real, you know, depth and meaning in their music, and it's not just geared towards the top 40, even though it might fall into that, and there's nothing wrong with top 40 music, but just my particular preference is just, if it evokes emotion, if it does that, it's done its job, the music has, and so that's really where I gravitate towards. But those bands in particular really got me hooked on the rock scene.
Okay. I got your So who are you listening to currently?
Currently it's still some of the same bands. Cold, Disturbed I listen to a lot, 3 Days Grace, as well as anything from Coldplay, Imagine Dragons, I'll listen to anything that's, you know, on the radio just to kind of keep up with the sound and everything. And you find a lot of good stuff on there, on mainstream, that I think sometimes it gets dogged, you know, because it's mainstream. Well, mainstream's almost in the minority now. Everybody's, you know, trying to branch off, which is good. You just need to get,
right.
you know, less labeling, more just if the song's good and you like it and it evokes emotion in you or makes you think, you know, more power to you. It just doesn't matter what genre it falls into or who's really singing it per se. But, you know, if you like the song, like the song. You know, don't be, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but sometimes you see fans of one band dissing fans of another band and or another music act, and it's like, you know, you don't have to do that, you know. It's just one of those things that let the music speak for itself, and if not your thing, one particular band, you know, let that be, and you don't have to, it's not a contest, so to speak. I don't view it that way, you know. I don't
right.
see it as a contest. It's just trying to reach people and doing that the best you can. And if you can earn a living doing it, more power to you. That's what we're all kind of wanting to some extent. But yeah, it's just let the music speak for itself and let it reach people. Yeah.
Well, I think those people that judge other musicians aren't really true artists, because I think a true
right.
artist really appreciates anybody's ability, you know, and talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's one
totally.
Thing you can't go. One thing you can't do. You can't go buy talent. You know, you can rehearse.
You
can rehearse till the cows come home, but you really can't go
right.
buy it.
Right. It's not something that is an easy thing to come across. And so, you know, and like you said, even if they're not playing the type of music you like, you can't say, you can notice talent, you know. You can notice if someone's really putting their heart into it. You can notice if, you know, if they mean what they're saying, if they've been through it. You know, you can notice all those things and appreciate that, even if you don't like the particular style or the song. It's just one of those things where, you know, let the music talk, and, you know, it doesn't need to be strung out all across YouTube and the comment sections. We all know those are, you don't want to go down there too far because it gets pretty hostile. But, but yeah, you know, just let the music speak for itself.
That sounds like a plan. I mean, I've always been that way. You know, I've got to come from an era of musicians. We really didn't have the technology that we have today, you know, the computer generated
right.
sound. You know, we had to learn how to play. And, you
yeah.
know, we also had a whole bunch of, you know, even in elementary school, you know, we had music
mm-hmm.
class. You know, we had band and harmony and some of those through, you know, elementary, junior high, as
yeah.
well as high. And, you know, where I know because of the economy and the politics and all this stuff that's going
yeah.
on in drama now, you know, a lot of people don't learn how to play instruments, you know, unless they're
right.
privileged or, you know, self-taught, which was going to be my next question
right.
for you. Are you self-taught? Did you have any formal training?
I did have training on both drums and guitar about the first 2 years of each. My guitar teacher, when I was 13, was a student at WSU, Wichita State University. And I'm blanking on his name. It's just been a while. Kyle Mulligan was his name, yeah. And he was a phenomenal drummer. And guitar, I really had to take lessons because pitch-wise, I don't have the greatest ear, but I can feel my way with the instrument. And I've developed it over time to where it's pretty good now. But starting out, I just didn't have that ability to match pitches, you know, spot on. And so I went and learned both tablature and notation, and just learning how to do that really helped in those years because it helped me gain an understanding of guitar and just music in general. And then throughout the years, my ears got a little bit better and everything, and I'm starting to work on the keyboard now, and I've been self-taught on that for a year. Haven't had any lessons, and that's coming a lot quicker now that I know guitar and know the notes and everything behind it. But, yeah, for those first 2 years, I took lessons. I'm on guitar. Again, Randy Zeller's phenomenal jazz musician and great teacher. So, but, yeah, that's it.
Okay, cool. Hey, well, we have one of your songs, JJ, queued up, Home. So you want to tell us a little bit about that, and then we can let our listeners hear it.
Yeah, Home was a song I wrote a few years ago, and it's really about, you know, someone trying to define what home is, you know, and it comes to down to not really a physical location. It's something that's more within you. And just trying to express that idea, you know, the best I can, and was able to put the full band together with Garrett Crowe and Mikasia Ryan and everything. And it's Garrett Crowe that's singing on there. But, yeah, it's a song I'm proud of, and it's the latest single off of the EP. So hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, here you go. This is Home.
As I wander, searching for a place I've never known, like the time that I see your face makes me realize there is something real out there. And I wonder how long till I reach this place. Home sounds like a nice idea to me. Don't tell me that there's nothing out there. This life has had its way with me. Breathing in, home is where I wanna be. And I wonder, why am I all over everywhere? Walking circles and acting like I'm going somewhere. Sometimes I feel like I just wanna start this over. And I remember just how far it is we've come. Home sounds like a nice idea to me. Tell me that there's nothing out there. This life has had its way with me. Breathing in, home is where I wanna be. Be.
Okay, your girl Miss Dramaganza? Mm-hmm, check. Lip gloss? Check. Mascara? Check. I am Indie with the homie K Diddy? Check, check. You listening to Blog Talk Radio, baby, and I love you for it. Mwah.
Yeah. We're back with J.J. McClagan. I like that. That spoke something. It spoke some words.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun to write, and hopefully it... Hopefully some other people like it too. So,
well, we got it, and we're going to continue to play it for you, so that's definitely not an issue.
Okay,
so,
cool, thank you.
Yeah, JJ, so what do you use now? I guess when I was listening to that and I was listening to the guitar, is that you doing the guitar work?
Yeah. Just used a Fender on that. And a Breedlove acoustic. And then Garrett sang and did drums on there. Garrett's another great musician, multi-instrumentalist, and he now lives in Nashville. But yeah, he was huge on that album. So
are you still playing drums too, or mostly just your guitar now?
Mostly just guitar. I haven't had a set for about a year and a half. I live in an apartment, so it's not very conducive to a full-on drum set. That's going to make a lot of neighbors upset. So, but, yeah, just mostly guitar. And, you know, if I move into a house here in the next few months, which I'm trying to do, I'm going to definitely get a set for that and everything. But, yeah, right now it's just mostly guitar work, both electric and acoustic, so.
Yeah, you posted up in Wichita, that's where you are?
Yeah, Wichita, Kansas. Been here my whole life. Like you said, I had a brief stint in Austin for a while, and then came back up here and signed with Michael Stover at MTS Management, and just been going at it ever since. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely got to give Michael a shout out, man. He does some great
definitely.
Work as well.
Definitely does. Tremendous guy and a tremendous management team that he's got. And they've helped a lot and helped a lot of people too. So.
Well, that's what it's all about. That's
definitely
what it's all about. So I know you got a gang of different, you know, singers and musicians on your project. I mean,
mm-hmm.
What kind of process did you go through to, you know, pull them together, and how did you choose who you wanted to work with?
Well, basically I got the phone number of a producer here in town, McKayser Ryan. He had lived several decades out in Los Angeles and helped produce Guns N' Roses albums and Bob Dylan and Metallica, and then came back to Wichita when he kind of retired and set up shop in Air House Academy here in Wichita, which is they give lessons, instrumental lessons, and they got a recording studio as well. And so I got the number to him, called him up, and showed up, played him a song called Letter, and he liked it, and told him what my plan was just to get a five song EP out there of my songs and go with that. And he was already in touch with Garrett Crow and Scott Spriggs, two of the singers on there, and basically just went from there and got with them and cracked out the instruments on all the songs, and then added the vocals last, and then did the mixing and mastering by McKayser, and it was a fun experience because I got to, you know, have the full studio experience, which I hadn't had. It was mostly just garage band stuff, so but yeah, it was good, good experience, good people all across the board, and had fun doing it, so yeah.
What you know, the music contest? Was that VH1 Save the Music Contest? How did you get involved in that, and what's that all about?
Yeah, it was a songwriting contest that I entered in, I believe it was a few years ago, but ended up being in the finalist category. It passed through several rounds of judges, and they got down to, you know, a few dozen songs, and it ended up being in the, you know, top 10 finalists. And so it was a song called Rain that I wrote. It's on my website, but it's not on the EP. We're thinking about putting it on the next one. But yeah, it was good, and it was reassuring that, you know, I was able to gain confidence from that, because it was kind of early on when I started pursuing, you know, songwriting as a career. And so it gave me a lot of confidence to do that. And just one of those things that, you know, you never know until you try it. So you just got to try it and see what happens. And so that's what I learned from that, you know. And but yeah, it was a good experience, and hopefully they're able to continue that contest on. I know for a couple of years it got dropped, but yeah, hopefully they can start it back up and then get some more songs out there from us indie guys.
Yep, that would be a great thing, and I know people just need to really support more organizations like that. So I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they still like the alcohol or going to the racetrack or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? So your album Disassociative. That's the project that you're working now.
Yeah, that's the one that's been released that has Home on it and everything. And the new one that I'm working on with Brian Elwick, a close friend of mine, and I haven't come up with a title for it yet. We're just still working on songs. We've got our songs set and everything, and just going through pre-demo and about finished with that, and then we'll take it into the studio and hammer them out, and then you know, hopefully it's fully done within the next 3 to 6 months, and yeah, and just hopefully they, you know, have some success with that as well, and just promote the heck out of it, and, you know, to whoever will listen, really.
How many musicians do you usually work with? I mean, do you have a full band, or, you know?
Well, right now it's just me and Brian, and the studio we're going to record at now is Brick House Studio. Here in Wichita, and producer there, and he's gonna hear the songs that we record just in my apartment with my software. He's just gonna hear those and then try and match, you know, who we need for drums, who would be good for vocals. Really, those are the only two main things we need, because guitar and bass we've got covered. And yeah, and so really it just comes down to who we can find and who's a good fit for me and Brian on this next EP. And Wichita's got a lot of good musicians, though. That's a good thing. And so we're sure we can find, you know, somebody that fits our music and everything. So yeah.
That sounds like an exciting process, too. You know, I kind of hate being in the studio. One way I kind of hate it, and the other way I don't really miss it much, because I used to be in that late nights. You know, sometimes you forget what
yeah.
it was.
Yeah, definitely. It can be a daunting task.
You forget what day it is, and then you get tired of eating pizza
right.
and cold chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be it's not as glamorous as some people think it is. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah, totally.
We see it always look better on the outside.
Yeah, it does. The pictures and the behind-the-scenes footage looks like fun, and it can be fun, and it is. But it also can be daunting and just kind of sluggish at times when the creativity's not flowing or something's not working right, and anything can happen. It's one of those things. You want to be prepared when you go in as much as you can. Kind of cuts down on the time and the cost, which can be, it's not a factor for a handful of people, but, you know, it's a factor for most musicians.
So whatever reason, a lot of musicians want to go in the studio and they go, they go to rock star heaven. You know, they want to kick back and have their friends down, and, you know, they go into a whole other place and they don't realize you on the dollar. I don't care what nobody say, you on the clock.
That's
not a place you go to practice.
Right, yeah, totally. It's not a place you want to start the process of creating a song in. You want to have that done, and because, like you said, you know, you're on the dollar, and that can add up. Even in a low-cost studio, it can add up and surprise a lot of people, and they end up not finishing the project.
Oh, no, I know, without a doubt. I had one of the biggest scares in life with Mr. Ike Turner, from Ike and Tina.
Yeah.
Over some studio time. And my masters were held hostage because somebody wasn't really paying attention to the clock, because they charged us for setup time and to tear down and get out of the studio. So it was crazy.
Man, that'll cost you a lot of money. Hopefully I don't run into that, but studios can be kind of deceiving with the way they do things. That's unfortunate, though.
Well, technology hasn't changed so much, JJ. I mean, it's like, man, I don't know. I'm sure I'm a lot older than you, man, but I go back to a day where, you know, you couldn't even have a studio unless you had $250,000 or more.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Now, you know, a couple thousand, you could get some digital stuff.
Definitely, It's all digital now. And so.
Right. You know, we went from analog to digital. You know, we didn't went from two-track, four-track, eight-track, 16-track, 24, 32. You know, now it's, I don't know how many.
Yeah, there's no telling. I think it's infinite. I don't think they've stopped making them. it's definitely a different world.
Totally. When, you know, it used to take us a week or more to send a CD or an album, you know, out of the country, and now you could do it in, you know, 30 seconds or less. You know, so the industry has changed so much. So, you know, artists now really have to be a little more, I would say, computer savvy, you know, if they really want to be, you know, relative, you know. And I feel sorry for a lot of the old school artists, you know, because, you know, they kind of missed that curve, you know.
It's kind of something that wasn't foreseen, you know, until it happened, mainly with the startup of Pro Tools, you know, making everything become digitalized. And and what it's done is it's kind of saturated the market with a lot more music. So sometimes it's hard to stand out from that. You know, you still got your big names and music and everything, and kind of the hope is to get one of them to sing your song. And so you just kind of hope for that. But just keep doing music because you love it and everything. Learning the keyboard, your way around the computer and everything is definitely a must, at least for someone that you're working with knows what they're doing on that. I agree totally.
And what I found out, too, here recently, JJ, is the way that the industry really views a lot of music, because there was a time where, you were judged solely on your music. You know, good music is good music,
mm-hmm.
you know, regardless of the genre. I mean, that's my
right.
opinion. But you were
Definitely.
Judged on your music and your artistry. But nowadays, you know, they want to look at your YouTube views and your social
mm-hmm.
network before they even listen to your music.
Right.
You know,
they,
if your numbers and the YouTube views, yeah, if
yeah.
your views and stuff don't interest them, they won't even listen to you to even give your music
right.
the benefit of the doubt. And
right.
to me, that's sad, you know.
Totally.
You know.
It is, because, you know, they don't want to take too much of a risk, you know, placing, you know, getting an artist that has great music and but not a lot of fans or likes or views. You know, they almost don't trust their own ears. They just trust however many likes you got or however many views
right.
you got. Well, they must be good, obviously, so we'll take them. And that, you know, so many times that's not the case. But yeah, you know, it should come down to just if the music's good, if you just kind of know when a song is going to reach people, and you just kind of want that to be the case, and not how many likes you can get, because you can buy those. I mean, you can buy views, you can do all that, and so it's just kind of one of those things that how it's working now, but hopefully that changes to some extent.
Well, I do too, because there's a lot of talent out there and a lot of great music, and they don't have the promotional dollars, or they're not computer literate to the degree, or they don't have a team of people. They just sit up
mm-hmm.
on you know, Twitter and Instagram all day just blasting their stuff out.
Right.
And to
totally,
me, that,
yeah.
that does the industry a disservice to me.
It does. It does. And it's almost become some extent a joke just because it's done that way. And I'm not saying social media is bad, but just the fact that you're judged how good a musician you are based off of your social media stats. You know, that as opposed to just the music itself, that doesn't, I think that's just kind of a joke.
Well, it is. And it's almost like,
yeah.
you know, back in the day, you had A&R departments, you know, which is artist
mm-hmm.
and repertoire for those people that don't
yeah.
know. And these guys somewhat kind of put their stuff on the line, you know, because they bring in
yeah.
a group, a hot act, and, you know, they may have a really, really good group. Sometimes they pick the right song to release, and, you know, they never look
mm-hmm.
back, and the A&R guy get pat on the back, he's the greatest guy in the world. But then
right.
the same token, he can bring in a group, a great, great, great group, and there's some educated idiot that don't really know music, release the wrong track, and then
right.
the whole group is punished, and then the A&R guy, you know, he gets snobbed,
he gets
you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So for them,
yeah.
they done got scared, and they just backed up and say, no, let me put it on everybody else now, you know?
Right. Yeah. And A&R guys, you know, you're right. They can, one act can make their career and it can break their career. And so they've got to be sure about it. But, you know, at the same time, make it to where, you know, it's just not solely based off of social media stats, you know, because that's not a true barometer on how people are going to receive the music. You know, obviously Taylor Swift's going to have great music stats on her social media. You know, already established people are. But if you're looking for someone that, you know, is talented, you know, just open up your, they need to open up their box a little bit and not just go by that, because in doing that, I think they're taking a bigger risk as opposed to really trusting their gut, trusting their ear and everything. Which I think is the way to go for that.
And I haven't seen no artists on this planet, every song that they sing, every song that they write becomes a hit.
Right. There's definitely, if you been in it long enough, you've made some flops. And so that's part of learning it. And it's one of those things that you kind of wonder sometimes why songs don't make it, or why most people just didn't really take a liking to the song, but it is what it is. And they just keep moving on, and you're right. So it's like you're never going to have a band that every song they write becomes a hit. You know, the Beatles came the closest maybe, but that's not going to even come close to that, nowadays.
But look at all the songs that they wrote that didn't become a hit, though. You know,
right.
They just became B-sides, you know?
Definitely.
You heard about them years down the road, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those. There's no such thing as the perfect song or the perfect band. You know, if you're looking for that, you're looking for something that's too overproduced and too fake almost. You know, you want a band that's able to make mistakes, but yet still produce out the one or two hits on an album that they can. And, you know, and the rest are just good songs that they don't become hits, but, you know, they're not bad songs. And so, yeah, just it comes down to just, I think record companies try and make every artist have each song have a hit as opposed to saying something that's real. It's kind of one of the downfalls of what's going on right now.
Unfortunately, nobody has a crystal ball. All we could do is the best that we can do.
definitely, that's. That's the name of the game. Just do your best and see what happens. And enjoy the ride while you're going.
Wow, we definitely. It's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. Totally, man.
JJ, I've been trying to get this your other song uploaded, man, but I think the file is corrupted. It's been taking like 5, 6, 7 minutes, man, so I'm definitely going to have you come back on the show so we can play this other song for you, man.
Okay, cool.
I'm trying to upload your song Letter, but something's going on with the file. And
okay.
I definitely apologize for that. We're going to have you come back on and talk a little bit more about your album, you know, in a couple of months maybe. You know, we'll get with Mike and see where you are and what part of the world you're in. And, you know, hopefully we have your jet fly you back out here in California.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of, I got to get back on it here in about 30 minutes. So,
Hey, man, quickly, tell everybody where they can go get your music and your pages and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can just go to jjmcguiganmusic.com. McGuigan spelled McGuigan, music.com. And you can also check out iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, any online realtors. I should be on there. And my Facebook, just JJ McGuigan. And you'll see my music page or my regular page. And on my website, you can hit me up if you've got questions on music or mental health or anything like that. Just feel free to drop a line, and I'll talk to you definitely and see if I can help or anything.
Well, definitely, JJ, we're going to be reaching out to you and Michael, too, because we have another show that we do on Sundays, and we get a little deeper into, you know, the mental health issues, and, you know, we have other activists, you know, attorneys, different community people come on the show and talk about stuff like that. So we'll probably have you come on that show as well, so we could talk a little bit more about that.
That'd be awesome.
Right. So again, man, I want to thank you, and thanks, Mike, for bringing you on, and we wish you all the best with your music, and we're going to keep our eye on you, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. This was fun, and I appreciate it.
All right, man, and we'll talk to you soon, and thanks again.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Yeah, this is your man, J.R. Perry, from Love Drops. Yeah, I'm keeping it locked every Wednesday, at I Am Indie, where you get your smooth urban hip hop, independent music, baby. From 2 p.m., hosted by my man, KD, putting it down. I Am Indie. Check it out.
We break waking up again.
It's getting old.
You throwing shit and I'm slamming doors. You screaming at me, I'm going deaf. For accusing me, but it's no one else. I take a side and I decide to leave. I need space, I need to breathe. I got friends, you got them too. I cross the line with like one or two. Don't judge me for my honesty. Your past flings don't bother me. I understand some jealousy, but you killing me when you fell to see. Got prospects, but I'm stuck on you. Pissed off, but I still want to rub on you. When you walk away, I can't deal. But the pride of me, keep it all concealed. Told you once and I'ma say it again. Be careful who you call your friend. Misery, love, company. And then this one I love to end. Trips, we making plans for the next one. It's easy, baby, just think about it and make your next move your best one. You held me down when I was going through it and I appreciate it with gratitude. I came up and we came up so you can miss me with that attitude. We making up again, no one's perfect. Take your chances, I hope it's worth it.